It don't matter what I try, I just can't win and I don't know why. There's a fork in every road, I pick the wrong one and then I go. American loser, yes I am, disenfranchised from everything. Well, I fall up and I fall down, an American loser the day I was born.
Live from a Shared Universe podcast studio at the Bell Works in Homedale, New Jersey. My name's KP Burke. My dad is back in New Jersey, but he just didn't want to be here. He stopped believing in the project. I'm kidding. He's very busy right now. He is back in New Jersey. He's working on some stuff. We couldn't get him into studio today. So what I did for this particular show, which first of all, again, is at a Shared Universe podcast studio in the Bell Works. I want to say thank you to our pal Ming Chen for letting us pop back in over here. The kahuna is not behind the ones and twos either. Everyone's abandoning me, Ted.
Listen, this is a bad situation right now.
It is. I'm calling in the first of all, loser devotees will know and recognize that voice. One half of the Wizards of Odd, my pal Ted Daniels in the building with me. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, dude, you're always money on this show. You were on one of my favorite episodes ever. If you guys want to check it out, it was about the worst general in all of World War II. When you hear worst general in World War II, you think, oh, what awful Nazi must... Yeah. No, it was an American. He was just bad at his job.
He was so bad.
Lloyd Fredendall, folks. Go ahead and check him out. If not for him, we wouldn't have discovered the legend of Patton. Patton, who keeps tying into everything that we do, by the way. I didn't know if you know this. And I do want to introduce the guy behind the ones and twos today, Ethan from A Shared Universe. Ethan, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. This is your first time checking out American Loser?
I guess so, yeah. Interesting. Mean, directly, yeah. I mean, I've been tuning in a little bit here.
See, that's what I love, man. That's what. So you know,
even if he didn't, it's nice that he said that.
What we like to do is I've created a real a real damned zone for myself. I am I'm too comedy heavy for the diehard history folks, and then I'm too history heavy for the people who just want comedy jokes. So I've created a real no man's land for myself, Ethan. I'm happy you're here with me.
Great, because I love history. Like I'm a history buff.
You're gonna have nice. Some fun with this one, then, man. I'm gonna throw to you the same. And by the way, you can't ever, if you get something wrong, you can't ever do anything worse than some of the stuff Kahuna has said on this show.
Can't imagine.
Or my dear cousin Kelly, who I love to death, who I know is one of the smartest people, one of the best writers I've ever met. She thought that the rapture was music. And I said, no, that the rapture is actually a fear of it's actually a feeling of great joy. I don't know if you knew, a lot of people don't know that.
Well, because that's if the rapture happens, whoever is raptured, that is their great joy to not have to go through the 7 years of tribulation. They go straight to God, straight
that's
to
right.
Jesus.
It's we know that we're going, okay? And then James from the comedy shop has to sit around for a couple
seven years at
right?
least.
It's really, his wife's a witch. I think it's going to be longer.
You think? Could be eons.
Yeah, and I don't mean like she's a witch, a bad person. We love her. She's actually a witch. She keeps cats and looks at the stars to plot her life and stuff. I don't know. I love you too, Annette, but I don't know what to do. By the way, going back down there, I got stand-up dates coming up. Kahuna is exhausted. He's wrapped up in a cocoon, recovering his strength like Goku from Dragon Ball Z. I see. I don't even know that reference, but he's said it in front of me so many times that I'm using it now.
Perfect.
He did direct and film my second album. We recorded it. Teddy, they're not comedy specials anymore.
What are they?
Well, they're not specials because I've been told that there's nothing special about them anymore. So
that's probably true.
That's what I'm calling mine, a recital. That's what we're doing.
I was really annoyed that I couldn't make that one because, I don't know, I had something big going on that I couldn't make it. And I was actually talking to my son-in-law, Charlie, today, who said,
was also invited.
He goes, KP invited me. He's, you know, with him with three kids. It's like, you know.
It's, you know what it is? You have to invite everybody and hope that a third of them show up.
Correct.
And that's what I got lucky with. I invited everybody that I wanted there, knowing that only about a third were going to be able to come through. We sold it out, me and Mike Ciccoli. Ciccoli was our guest last episode, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Weird little side note. Did you know that General Patton is a descendant of Hugh Mercer, who died at the Battle of Princeton?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that Mercer family legacy carries on in a couple of very strange ways.
You know what's funny? You said a few minutes ago that everything boils back down to Patton. It's like when we do our show, The Wizards of Odd.
Which is a great show if you have not checked it out. We know a lot of people that have made the jump over there, and it's you guys are having fun, and you and Don are fantastic together.
And we have people say the same thing to us. The people who are diehard paranormal are like, just get into the paranormal stuff. And then we have people who say, we like the paranormal stuff, but we love when you guys talk about the other things like the comedy. But we had a guest, Peter Jordan, on, who's an amazing guest. He was on for our guest about
Donnie Brasco.
No, the Rain Boy. I don't know, Rain Boy, Donnie, whatever. And he said, in the end, it all comes down to a big hairy man. So it's like the patent thing.
Our big hairy man was the big kahuna, Christian Cordes.
Yes.
We said his real name on the show. Finally, we always allude to it. But he did a great job. He directed that. He had it was a 5-camera shoot they did. We packed out the Dojo of Comedy, which is, to me, one of the most comedian-friendly venues. What they're trying to build, because what you guys build with Comedy Shop is you build a series of great venues that people can count on. You know, they always want to come back over there. And then what these guys are doing, they have a standalone location, which I know from a business end creates so many more other problems and stuff like that. You have to deal with it. But they've dug in. They're building something. It's co-owned by a comic, Sam Tripoli, the great Sam Tripoli. And so they've just been able to do a lot of things the right way. And I know this. If I had that place when I first moved back up to New Jersey, I would have been hanging out there every minute of every day. Instead, I had to, you know, sit there and you and I, who have fought the comedy wars in the VFW halls of Chester, New Jersey. And
what do you do this? I'm in Glenn Gardner.
Glenn Gardner's my go-to. That's the best one.
Glenn Gardner. Oh, God help us, please.
What clubs are you when you're in New York? They're always like, what clubs are you past that? And I'm like, well, I recently did a fundraiser for the girls volleyball team of Glenn Gardner, New Jersey.
And they love this.
But that's the thing. You the reps are the reps. That's what people don't understand. So when you have an act, there's people that can only do their act on one side of the Hudson River. And then they get exposed when they come do it on our side. And then I have seen I won't say the person's name because I love them, but I did see a
you'll tell me later, I hope.
Of course, okay. A bigger named New York City comic who is very, very popular and very famous right now refer to Valley Forge Casino as the Heartland. So,
oh boy, if only.
that was my catching up that I had to do with my pal Ted here. And again, I want to say thank you to everybody who did come out to the recording. We're very excited. It came out great. Mike Ciccoli did a great job as well. I knew he was going to.
Ciccoli's awesome.
He's a great
kid. I love him.
Great. He works very, very hard. And he some people were saying like, they were like, oh, let him go first so he can just, you know, relax afterwards and enjoy it. Don't make him like walk around. I went first. We had did me, then an intermission, then Ciccoli. And he was just ready. He was just dialed in the appropriate amount of edibles, whatever it is that he did that day. He was ready to roll. And I'm very proud of him. And he was great. He was great on the podcast, promoting leading up for it too. Kahuna filmed some stuff for us here too. It's just a great couple of weekends for me. With
That's
comedy.
Great.
And then Ted, you and I, right after this, we're going to go to Tom's River, New Jersey.
Yes. The beautiful Tom's River, New Jersey. Hey, quick Ciccoli story. And this is why I love him more than any other, other than you, any other comic.
I'm the only one that got invited here. You know,
we were doing a high school like project graduation thing. And I get booked and Ciccoli gets booked. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. What am I? I'm going to be in front of high school kids. Like, they're not going to get any of my stuff or anything. And it had to be like for a full hour. So Ciccoli's going first and he goes, oh, this is my jam. He actually went to the high school.
Oh,
he
perfect.
Graduated from the high school. So I said to him, listen, go as
this
long.
Was in Boys Town? Is that correct?
I said, go as long as you want to go. He was supposed to do like 10 up front and I was going to do like 40 or 50. He wound up doing like 35. And I only had to do like 15, and I could not have been happier about that. And I actually thought about giving him the amount of money I was getting paid instead of what he got paid. But I said, you know, the kid's got to pay his dues a little bit. So he did a nice job.
Think about what you would have tainted his because he's got no ego, which is why I love him. But you could have tainted that had you given him the money. So I defend
that. It stayed a beautiful thing.
Well, we said something earlier too, and I don't even remember if it was being recorded or not, but in order to get into the topic on the show, and it's a quick one, don't get me wrong, it's a quick topic. However, it's a fun one to talk about too, because
I don't even know what it is.
This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to catch you off guard because for those who know, Teddy's an informed guy. He reads, Ethan likes history. Both of you are going to know this guy's name that I'm about to bring up. I don't know if you know this incident because I didn't either. And the reason I found out I was weird is because Nintendo 64 was the first system that I got as a kid growing up. But I was born in 1987, which means no Nintendo. I think I got a Sega, but maybe one baseball game on it or something like that. It was a strange childhood looking back on it because everything was very monitored. You couldn't watch this show or whatever, but you could, number one, watch movies with your grandpa, which is what I was allowed to do. And you could also read as much as you wanted. Reading was encouraged in my house. And so I was buying all these Old West books because I was watching old Western movies with my grandpa and my Uncle Paulie and my dad. And this guy, of course, comes up all over the place when you start hearing about him. And just to be clear, if you don't know the deal on this show, what we do, the show is founded on a couple of principles. One of them is the Liberty Valance principle, which means when it comes down to printing fact or legend, print the legend. So that's what we're going to do here. And we do try to tell both. We try to be honest about it, but we can't resist telling a good story. That's just – we're unlike other media outlets. We're at least going to admit it, you know? The other thing we like to try like hell to do on this show is showcase that when someone thinks they know a moment in history or a person from history, we have to take the opportunity like, hey, that's awesome that you know this. Do you know what happened before or after the incident that made them famous? So because if you went to – there's some people on the show we've covered were like, oh, if you try to make a movie about this person's life, you're leaving out four other movies that could also be made. Some people mm-hmm. demand a series. That's all the bottom line is. So on this, we could give an origin story, or even more fun for us, we get to do an epilogue where things don't always end up on a sunny note or there's a new chapter of their life that totally begins. Here's a fun thing to talk about. The average person knows a decent chunk about today's main character because he's been portrayed in movies, TVs, books, songs, and more. But it's always what we know about him that seems to almost always bury the lead. One of the most interesting parts of his story is just never brought up because when I'm going to throw out a name to both you guys, and I want genuine reactions here. I'll start with Ethan first because he's a history guy. I like him already. Very professional too, by the way.
He is.
Yeah, Cahoon is trying to get us to buy him lunch by now. You know what I mean? Ethan, when I say Wild Bill Hickok, what pops into your mind?
Wild Bill Hickok.
Correct.
The first thing I think of is the Wild Bill's root beer stand at the county fairs. Have you guys ever seen
I like
that.
I like that. That's a good name for a root beer too, by the way. So you got a Wild Bill on that one. But what imagery pops up into your head on that one?
Wild West, rootin' tootin' cowboy.
Wild West, rootin' tootin' cowboy. Teddy, what about you?
Yeah, me too. Like those old cowboy shows that they used to do, back in, I guess, turn of the century. And they would set up a whole traveling thing with Annie Oakley and all these different people. And
so Annie Oakley, you mean the girl who did cocaine? That's what William Randolph Hearst wrote about in his magazines once.
I'm not going to hold that against her.
Oh, yeah. By the way, quick shout out to Ari Siegel is the guy's name. He works for History by Mail. He saw my clips online that I do, the 90-second loser clips.
Yeah.
And they've been sending me some free stuff from History by Mail. So,
oh, nice.
We wanted to talk more about doing a sponsorship for the clips, but I couldn't do that. I can absolutely mention you guys for free on here because it's just a cool subscription service. They send you old letters from history, and one of the letters happened to be from Annie Oakley, who was writing to the president saying, hey, let me put together a team of lady sharpshooters and let us take San Juan Hill. True. That's what she wanted. She goes, and by the way, what a giant, first of all, we should have done it. And number two, what a giant middle finger to the whole world, especially the declining empire of Spain, which, by the way, is like, yeah, by the way, Cuba, that's ours now. And the ladies did it for us.
Yeah.
The ladies auxiliary.
That would have been great.
But they're fantastic. But that the like you said, the old cowboy shows, you said cowboy shows, by the way, I'm thinking, the shows that my dad grew up on. You know what I mean? Have Gun, Will Travel type.
Gun, Will Travel, Gunsmoke.
Oh, good. Bonanza was a big one Bonanza I grew up on. Yeah. Rawhide, if you want to see what Clint Eastwood would look like just before.
The Rifleman.
There's a lot
of good Rifleman ones. Was a great show.
Well, all these things, the rootin' tootin' cowboy image, it's all there. But the biggest thing with Wild Bill, everybody knows, you hear Wild Bill Hickok and you immediately think of I think of my old Cub Scout pack master who always sat in the corner at all times. He always sat in the corner at a restaurant. We were family friends with him too. And he would never allow anybody behind him. And the reason being was because Wild Bill Hickok, he always sat in the corner so he could see all the action. And the one time that he didn't, he gets shot in the back of the head.
That's right.
Anybody remember the hand that he was holding?
Yeah, he had aces and eights.
Aces and
eights. Dead man's hand.
Dead man's hand, correct. Because he was killed by a coward named Jack McCall at the number 10 saloon in Deadwood. Well, technically the Dakota Territory.
Yeah.
Which anybody who, if you want to talk about a Western show, that was the best one ever for me.
That was... Yeah, that was – and that was rough. I mean, that was
– It was
– Intense.
It was right after Sopranos was already on the air and Deadwood comes in and Deadwood's like, oh, yeah, it's a cowboy show. And they're like, oh, cool. Who's the good guy? Oh, they're all bad? Everybody's bad?
Everybody's bad.
But some of them are pretty charming, okay? I mean, there's this guy. I feel like he's a good – oh, he killed a hooker. Okay.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it. But Keith Carradine plays Wild Bill Hickok on that one. And it's brutal to watch because the same way on HBO's show Rome, the Syrian Hines guy that played Caesar, they're just playing these roles and you're like, God, I know he's going to die. I just got to cherish every minute that he's on film because they're killing it. These guys were murderous on this one. Wild Bill gets whacked in Deadwood. Calamity Jane, who we did another episode on. Calamity Jane, by the way, is portrayed in Deadwood as this aloof, great character. She was as ruthless as everybody else.
Oh, she was brutal.
She actually had her own whorehouse.
Yes.
That she occasionally worked in sometimes. She's like, oh, you guys, I guess you know, no one else is here. I'll seat you.
How great would that have been? Like eventually down the road, you're like a 90-year-old cowboy saying, yeah, I once went into a whorehouse and I did it with Calamity Jane. And people are like, okay, grandpa.
That's
okay.
I swear.
No, really.
I got gonorrhea from Calamity Jane.
You're okay, grandpa.
The Earp brothers were there watching.
Doc Holliday coughed on me.
Oh, man. It's by the way, Deadwood – I'm not – Deadwood. Tombstone was on the other day. Easter weekend, Carly and I went away. Most underrated line in that entire movie and everything that Val Kilmer says in that movie is gold. But the most underrated line is Ike Clanton or one of the McLowry brothers played by the guy who played Lowell on Wings. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church is his name. Great cast in that movie. He takes a look at Doc Holliday when they're staring each other down in the streets and he goes, you ain't going to be much trouble, Holliday. You look like you drank enough that you're seeing double. And then Val Kilmer takes out two pistols, goes, got one for each of you. you're like, God, this movie's excellent.
So, that is a great movie.
Kurt Russell knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing that killed me was that Wild Bill Hickok, you hear his name, and all I ever knew about was his death. Aces and eights, shot in the back of the head, the number 10 saloon, Jack McCall, you coward. And he always sat facing everybody except for this one time when they got him. So what's interesting is we get a chance to tell a story about almost an origin story, if you will, which the comic book movies have made very popular. But if we were to talk about this right now, it's the origin story of how did Wild Bill become Wild Bill?
I have no idea.
So this is what I'm excited about. I get to bring this one along here. And then I want both you guys, you got questions, ask me stuff. Kahuna would have interrupted five times by now. And by the way, I do love his interruptions, but at the same time, it's like it's almost like when they're not here, I'm like, am I just finishing thoughts? What's happening today?
Every time I think of Kahuna, I think about how we Don and I were guests and we were talking about, I don't know, it was Bigfoot or Dogman or something like that. And he goes like this, I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to just leave the just for a few minutes. This is a lot.
I love Dogman. Oh, my God.
Dogman's don't even get me started.
It's on the episode, right? The podcast is called Wizards of Odd, folks. Check it out. It's fantastic. And let's get my friend Rachel to call you back about her LaLorna story. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
She's wonderful. She moved back to Jersey, by the way.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So, your guys' show is fantastic. And it's this one gets to be a little bit of a legend, too, here, by the way. So before – and there's no jaw drop moment for the Kahuna this week, so he's not missing that one. But you're right. It is very fun to spook that boy.
Yeah, I love it.
One time we scared him at the old Smod Castle and he had to leave by himself afterwards. And I'm pretty sure he just had like his – he had his Blair Witch moment. I'm so scared right now. But before Wild Bill Hickok could become the most famous dead man in Deadwood, this Wild West legend starts off as a nice little redheaded boy from Illinois. I didn't know he's from Illinois. I hear his name, I think Kansas.
I would have guessed, yeah, Kansas City.
Always there.
You know? Idaho.
Now, his father was an abolitionist, which again, for those who don't know, means was against slavery, because there was a very – if you want to talk about what side of the political aisle people were on, there was the abolitionists, right? And then there was states' rights people, and then there was also bimetallists, people who were going for a gold standard versus free silver. So these are the raging arguments around the time frames here. So – interestingly enough, his father's an abolitionist. Abolitionist. And many accounts will even verify that Wild Bill Hickok's childhood home in Illinois was used as a station for the Underground Railroad.
Wow.
Now, a good friend of ours who was on the show, and he once told me something interesting. Harriet Tubman, whenever you see a photo of her and she's carrying a gun, the gun wasn't to protect herself from would-be slave catchers. The gun was to turn on the slaves if they got nervous and said, I want to go back. We're finishing.
Sure,
this.
Because they would tell where everything is.
Exactly. And, you're not going back. Let's go.
Oh, she was moving. Gangsta.
Harriet Tubman, amazing story. It's one of those stories where you hear it as a kid and you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then you're like, oh no, there's new. Oh, every time I hear a little bit more, it gets a little bit better. So, but Hickok is growing up in that and abolitionist household here. They do believe him, like I said, his father to have been part of that Underground Railroad. Hickok was considered and known in his time to be a good shot with a pistol. And he gets into a brawl with a guy named Christian Cordes. And he I forget the guy's name. Glenn Gardner, we'll call him. How about that?
Wait. You say Christian Cordes?
We like to slide that in there every now and then to see if he's paying attention. Usually I do that to see if he's going to look up. And I'm like, oh, he's not texting. Here we go. You don't understand your professionalism, Ethan. It's almost bothering us. We're not used to this.
He's too professional.
Should I start going to my phone and watch TikToks or something?
I won't tell you what we normally do to him sometimes. If I'm doing multiple episodes and he goes out for a snack real quick, I jump on his computer and bring up inappropriate pictures of Stacey Dash.
Is that why there's those pictures whenever I come in after one of these recordings?
Oh, boy.
He doesn't even have the courage to close them.
Maybe he doesn't want to.
It's his addiction that's getting the best of him. So here we are. Wild Bill is known to be a great shot, and he gets into a fight, a brawl with a guy, and I think the two of them fall into a ditch. And it's just a brawl. They're fighting each other. But when they fall into the ditch, he thinks that this guy died, and he goes, oh, they're going to kill me. I'm going to get lynched. And he runs away. Turns out the guy didn't die. But that little fight sets off this whole life of, being adventure, if you will, for Wild Bill Hickok. Because there are certain times when history, geography, and destiny all kind of line up perfectly, as it does here for Bill Hickok, who, again, is going by different names. William Hancock. I think Hainsworth is a name that he used at one point, too. You could just change your name depending on whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't think that was his birth name, right? Wild Bill wasn't his birth name.
He bounced around for a couple of them. And I found this one out today, and it made me laugh pretty good. I think you guys are going to kick out of this.
His birth name was Shlomo Glickstein.
Yes. Modest Yahoo.
Yes.
So around this time, Bill Hickok, for all intents and purposes, is going to find himself. He's a good shot with nowhere to go. He knows how to fight, right? And he's also winds up in an area that at the time is being referred to as Bleeding Kansas, right? Hmm. Bleeding Kansas. So this is where Kansas was a precursor to the Civil War, because there was a slave state. And then if you were going to admit a slave state, you had to admit an abolitionist state. Mm-hmm. And it was the growing of the Union here. And Kansas was hot and heavy fighting there. Kansas and Missouri going back and forth with each other. And by the way, if you were a abolitionist in Kansas, you were known as a Jayhawker. So if you want to know in the Final Four why the Jayhawks are, that's the team that goes that's literally goes back to an abolitionist. That's your Bleeding Kansas.
I had no idea.
That's pre-Civil War knowledge right there. Mm. So anyway, he will eventually, while he's meeting up with these Jayhawkers and also working for the Union Army as a scout, he's going to wind up meeting another guy. Just picture this meeting here. There's a guy. He's not known as Wild Bill yet. We'll find out how he gets that nickname. It's very interesting. He winds up meeting a kid who's about 12 years old, who's working as a scout for the Union Army. And they meet each other, and he goes, oh, hey, man, hi, I'm Bill Hickok or Bill Hainsworth or Bill Haynes, whatever you want. And then this other kid goes, oh, hi, I'm William Cody.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Teddy figured it out. You want to take a gander? William Cody? a 12-year-old, soon-to-be Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Goodbye, yeah, there you go. Horses. different Buffalo Bill. So Cody was only 12 when he met the guy who was being referred to back then. Get a load of this one. So I'll be honest with you guys. People keep telling me that I've lost weight or that I look good. It's not that, guys. I grew a beard and it has created the illusion of a jawline. That's what's happened, okay?
I don't think that's true.
I've lost a little bit of weight. Yeah. A little bit, okay? But the beard makes it look like I have a jawline because I've weighed less than this before without a beard and still been called fat. It's just what it is. So the beard helps create the illusion of a jawline. And what happened – this is a pre-mustache Wild Bill Hickok, and his nickname back then was either Shanghai Bill, probably because he looked like, you know, I don't even know why you would call him Shanghai Bill. I'm terrified to find out. But then also because he had a big nose, they called him Duck Bill.
Duck Bill.
Yep, he was Duck Bill Hickok. That was his nickname. Hey, Duck Bill, you know, so you immediately picture Daffy Duck with, you know, some shooters. That's immediately what comes to mind.
They loved giving nicknames back then.
It was great. And it was by the way, the I forget the comic's name that I worked with up in Foxborough, but he was saying, he goes, what Top Gun never realizes that every Navy pilot's nickname is actually an insult from something stupid they did. And his name was the Hangman. He goes, that's a pretty great nickname, except, but they called me that because one time I got out of the plane without taking off my mask. And it's just
when he's
just hanging. Oh, God, the guy's so funny. I'm blanking on his name. I'll think about it and I'll put it in post. But anyway, so he's now met Buffalo Bill Cody, right? You know, so the famed Buffalo Bill. And he
was like 12 years old.
12 years old at the time. And they're cutting their teeth out on this Wild West.
How old is Wild Bill at the time?
A little bit older than Buffalo Bill because he noticed apparently that Buffalo Bill was a young fella.
Okay.
And he was shocked that he was 12 years old and had already been riding with the Union Cavalry for two years.
I mean, I knew that in the Civil War, there were a lot of young kids fighting.
Oh, totally.
But I mean, I thought that was more on the side of the South than the Union side because, you know, the Union had the army. And the South, they were taking anybody at towards the end. They were taking anybody.
Wait, but you saw They Shall Not Grow Old, right?
I did. Yeah.
Which was Ethan, did you see that one?
The World War One.
Yeah. So Peter Jackson did it. It's a documentary and he restores World War One footage to color. Everybody should see it because if you want to know how horrifying World War One is, if you have a junior high age kid in your life, whether it be a nephew, a son, a neighbor, anybody. That is, you're seeing someone their age be tossed a rifle and said, your country needs you to go die. And it affects your look of the thing. And it's an incredible story. And I can't believe that 15-year-old boys had so much thrown on their shoulders at that time.
Yeah, the percentage of those soldiers in World War One that actually came back was very low.
Well, when you see how many World War One veterans lived long enough to see World War II and then even Korea, you're like, well, how did they live if they – and then you're like, oh, we didn't know that you had to be 18. We didn't decide that. We're like, right. No, you don't – childhood, we'll figure it out. We'll see if you get – let's see what happens with this war. If there's a childhood for you to have on your way back, do that, you know? So we're sending 15-year-old kids out there. But it's nuts. And by the way, a lot of times the way that the guys would lie, they didn't want to lie. I thought this was always interesting. They wouldn't lie because they didn't want to get in trouble with God for lying about their age. So I think the age was like 15 or something like that. So what they would do is they would say, this is for Civil War era. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to join up and you were 15, you could put the number 15 on the bottom of your shoe. And then when they asked you, are you over 15? You could say, oh, I'm over 15 because you're standing over the number 15. Because that's the little thing. That was the weird thing where you're like, okay, it's – you can relate to them, but it's also such a different time where you're like, now you go to a recruiter. I'm a Navy veteran. Let me tell you, they're like, did you ever break a bone before? I was like, I think I did. And he goes, did you ever break a bone before? I'll ask again. And I was like, you're right. Where's this bus? Get me on the bus. So
I actually had a friend of my dad who wanted to join the Marines for, I guess it was Korea. And he was not old enough and he was able to forge a birth certificate. And they actually found him under a pile of dead bodies on the beach. He was alive on his 18th birthday, which that would have been the day he could have joined the Marines.
Jesus. And
his legs were a disaster. Like I met the guy afterwards when I was a little kid and he had braces and everything. And he lived the rest of his life like like every day he could possibly die. Like he would go, he had a speedboat and he'd be like, he'd
all right,
go
so from this guy like, ruled, is what you're saying.
He was unbelievable. Okay, like, you know, then. 100 miles an hour and his wheelchair goes into the speedboat. And he's like, you know, it's like, but yeah, that was crazy.
It's a terrifying thing of what we put young men through, and that's why they if you ever want to know what we're talking about, the Metallica song One is yes. literally about all of this. That is a person who was sold a bill of goods that did not get lived up to.
Yeah.
So also side note too, Oliver Stone made Platoon because he needed to have a correct Vietnam movie, because when he got to Vietnam, it was nothing like John Wayne told him. And I love John Wayne movies, and I have a lot of respect for most of Oliver Stone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I did think, I'm like, well, if you're going to give us an accurate telling of the ground, I think a guy who was there might be able to do it.
Dude, I was so scared because I was in the – I was almost at the point where I was going to have to register mm-hmm. for Vietnam. And my big fear was that I would be drafted, get on a plane and go over there. They would sign peace treaties while I'm in the air. And as the plane lands and we have to get off because we have to get on another plane to come home. And as I'm waving like, hey, the war's over, some Vietnamese guy who did not get the memo shoots me. That was always my dream that was going to happen.
It's a scary one.
I could never do. I mean, I have the utmost respect for anyone who is in the military.
Well, our friend Joe Conte, he actually, they were going to send him over there. He was getting ready to send over. And then he said, guys, I'm trans. And they just didn't know what to do with
that
it.
That is time. True.
It was really,
they had no idea.
It was the 1960s.
And thank
sure.
God he was like that.
That's,
you know, thank God. Yeah.
Well, Joe's going to be okay, folks. Joe's going to be okay. Our dear friend.
He'll be fine.
So that, by the way, is trippy because you're talking about the 1960s mm-hmm. and 1970s here. So in 1861, this is 100 years mm-hmm. difference, but so many similar things going on, which is what's scary. 1861, there's an incident where a guy by the name of David McLean's. So it almost echoes your story here where you don't know. You think you're in the clear and then something winds up happening to you on accident. David McLean's, who unbeknownst to at the time, he was still being referred to as Duck Bill Hickok, right? So you're making fun of the guy when he walks around. It's because he hasn't grown his cool-ass mustache yet. So unbeknownst to Duck Bill Hickok at the time, David McLean's was a leader of a very rough gang in the territory that he was at, and he was at a place called Rock Creek Station. And McLean's, who was a big, badass kind of – if you think of the cowboys as mobsters, that holds up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could kind of run a town. They were never going to hold office or be respected, but they were always the criminal element in the town.
Yeah, cowboys were not like – everybody fantasizes about cowboys being, oh, he was a cowboy. Real cowboys mm-hmm. were very dangerous.
Oh, they were the bastards. And we romanticized them because American folklore needed our version of Camelot and a knight in shining armor. So our knight in shining armor would be the white hat riding out to face the black.
And they
hat.
Wore colors too.
Yes.
And they were like a lot of towns out west would say, you know, you can come in, you can be a cowboy and come in, but you can't wear your colors.
Mm-hmm. No gang colors. And yeah. What's another great line from Tombstone? It's Sam Elliott. He goes, we're not saying you can't have guns. You just can't bring them into town.
Yeah.
So the cowboys are scary folks here in this one. And this particular guy, David McLean's, who again is Duck Bill does not know that this is like a head mafioso, if you will. But Duck Bill walks in there and starts giving a bunch of shit and screaming and threatening a guy at the Rock Creek Station. And McLean's is threatening the station manager, and Hickok is acting out of what he thinks is self-defense, shoots and kills this guy dead. So he killed the gang leader. And it's actually the first recorded person that they believe Duck Bill Hickok killed. Also, to be clear, when you don't like your nickname, change something about yourself. Right? While Bill makes the big change, grows a fierce, fiery red mustache to match his long red hair. Mm. All the pictures of him, by the way, because they're black and white, it's going to look like it's darker hair. It's not. It's red. It just shows up that way.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, it's why same thing with George Washington was a redhead, but he always had a powdered wig on and all.
Yeah,
this.
That's right.
But anyway, Wild Bill, to give you an idea of why this guy gets romanticized to a degree, there's enough in there where you're like, he was – yes, he was a cowboy. Yes, he was a gunslinger. Some people call him a drunken ruffian. But then also, this is verified as true. Wild Bill actually visited the widow of the man he had just killed, McLean's, mm-hmm. who, by the way, she could just sit there and be like, gang, get him. You know, this is the man that killed your leader. And he said, I would just like to apologize for what I've done to you. And here is $35. I can't give you any more because I don't have anything else. This is the $35 to my name and it's yours now. I'm sorry for your loss. And they were like, okay. Thank you. Thank you. And then when you do something like that, well, between the mustache, the mean streak, the marksmanship, and now Union Civil War Scout Service, nobody started really giving Duck Bill a hard time when he started referring to himself as Wild Bill. Yes, he gave himself his nickname.
You know, that's the douche move to give yourself. You mentioned Conti. That's like Conti's biggest.
Joe Conti, another guest of the show.
Truest pet peeve in the world when you can't give yourself a nickname. Well, Wild Bill did, Joe.
It's a Wild Bill gave him. And by the way, once you're mean enough that no one's willing to correct you, that's when you're allowed to get away with that.
Yes.
And you and I both know that we know a comic, a very famous comic who used to refer to himself as the Punisher.
Ugh.
Yeah. And don't worry, he's playing Thursdays in Jacksonville again. So anyway, Wild Bill is. He's tough. He's respected in the area. He's like a local guy. You know what I mean? You don't want to mess with him, but no one really knows about him outside of that. He's not somebody that you come in. Oh, I heard this is Wild Bill's town. That Wild Bill has not come through yet. Mm-hmm. When Wild Bill is coming into Deadwood, they're nervous for 3 days leading up to it because they're like, what if he just shows up and starts killing everybody? Is he going to upset our interests here? How do we get Wild Bill on our side? Let's send a gift basket out to him. That Wild Bill is not born yet. This is the story of how that legend is born. Wild Bill, it's 1865 and he's heading out to Springfield, Missouri, right? Springfield, Missouri. That sounds like a good place for Anheuser-Busch to set up shop, right? You know,
Civil War has just ended.
So yeah, 1865, you are post-Civil War right now. So there's still a lot going on here. There's still allegiances mm-hmm. going on. And by the way, you say ended. That just means that some people are very quick to point out that is just that Robert E. Lee's Army of North Virginia has surrendered.
Right.
Ethan, you ever get to live outside? Are you from Jersey, bud?
Yeah, I'm from Jersey. Yep.
Okay. Whereabouts?
Sayreville.
Okay. So Sayreville's interesting down there. There was, first of all, crazy amount of support for the Confederacy in New York City, also in parts of New Jersey. Fun little fact about New Jersey. New Jersey is the only state that would have been able to and never voted for Lincoln. They went with McClellan the second time around. So, there was definitely New Jersey's a strange territory for that stuff. But when I got stationed down south a little bit and you're like, oh, wow, all our forts are named after Confederate generals. That's weird.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if we'd allow that. You know what I mean? I'm here at Fort A.P. Hill right now. That's a little strange. But I'm not saying you should change it either. I'm saying you're like, oh, it's curious that we did that. Now, a lot of the reasons they did that too is to try to mend fences because you can see as the story I'm about to tell, it sounds like I'm rambling and I'm not. You can see why you had to mend fences here because at the end of the day, you need a standing army and you can't just have them from the north and you can't just have them from the south, right? So you need to mend fences over here. So this is interesting. Wild Bill at this time is paying his bills as a gambler. He had made many friends and enemies during this time, which is, again, gambling is the thing that's going to eventually cost him his life years later in Deadwood, but not in 1865. It's not going to catch up to him just yet. There's a fellow by the name of Davis Tutt. Pretty good name. Davis Tutt. Davis T-U-T-T, right? Ethan, if I could ask you to pull up a picture of Davis Tutt to show Teddy over here and yourself as well, you'd get a kick out of what this guy looks like because he's an oddly handsome man. It's pretty interesting there. Click on that photo. So that's a great photo of him right there. Davis Tutt. He's got a good one. And it's a clear photo. He's a little creepy. Looks almost like a Backstreet Boy. You know what I mean? He's got like older brother 90s facial hair going on.
Because I want it.
Very like Nickelback.
He does look a little Nickelback,
right?
Oh,
yeah. You're right.
If you saw that guy just jamming on the drums for Creed, you wouldn't think twice.
Nah.
This photograph, it was taken in 1865.
He's right, man. Well,
it's a time traveler.
Is that it? Is that really what it boils down to? No. I wonder. The Davis Tutt is a Confederate veteran from Arkansas, okay, and happens to be, this is interesting, a good pal, a gambling buddy of Wild Bill Hickok. So they're good buddies right now. That's kind of cool. He fought for the Union. Davis Tutt fought for the Confederacy. And they're able to make things work. It's like, hey, you know, I like drinking and hanging out and gambling halls. Do you like poker? I love poker, man. We can get along here. That's kind of a cool thing. Maybe that's the way we're going to mend fences and build this country. There's a whole new world out west that needs to be settled now. The North and the South, are, that's been confirmed. So anyway, I mentioned that to mention this. Their friendship's going to come to an end. Over, I'll give you one guess, Teddy.
What a woman.
You knew it. Teddy's been around the block, folks.
He twice.
So, no, it of course, in most things, in even the earliest Greek works, it's always a woman that comes into it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Women do come into the equation here. There are claims that Wild Bill had knocked up one of Tut's sisters and then not done right by her, so gave her an illegitimate child and didn't come back. Never was proven. And then Davis Tutt, he was, again, pointed out by this. I would call him an eerily handsome man.
He's probably, for back in that time, a good-looking guy.
Everybody – and again, it's also that he's got – he looks like he's got facial structure to him. A lot of people back then just had it was very – everybody kind of looked like Grover Cleveland in a lot of the photos. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He looks kind of like a vampire.
There's a little vampire nonsense
like
in there.
Like the ears.
But he's got the light eyes too.
The light eyes is what's spooking me out. Now I'm staring too much into it. So this would be where Kahuna would be like, can you guys walk me to my car after the show?
His eyebrows look drawn on. Almost.
They sure do.
He said, those eyebrows though. I like that hat. Well, I want to wear a hat like that.
There's no reason.
I see people with hats and they walk around.
You have done
around.
Enough and accomplished enough in your life.
Right?
You could be wearing this hat.
It's like the same reason I don't eat funnel cake. everybody's eating funnel cake when they go to ball games or stuff. And my wife says, get one. I'm saying no, because the last thing I need is to be walking around with a funnel cake and somebody just going, yeah, that fat bastard needs a funnel cake. And I don't want people to think that. And I've never had a funnel cake to this day. And I want one so bad. And I want to wear a hat like that. I don't have much time.
I don't
want
to keep shitting on Joe Conte, but Joe Conte, he physically can't eat funnel cake anymore.
I know he can't.
He can't.
There's a lot of things he can't eat.
No Zeppelis for that boy. He's actually
done.
He's skinnier than me now. I don't like
it. Incredibly thin. Incredibly thin.
Shrinking man.
It pisses me off, by the way.
It should.
It does, because I'm a fat slob over here.
Well, Davis Tutt is, again, we're going to call him a handsome guy for the time. So he's got a beef saying that, hey, Wild Bill might have hooked up with one of my sisters, and then he's going to make her brand the Scarlet Letter. You know what I mean?
All right.
And then he's going to sit there and say, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just go start making sure that in public I start talking to Wild Bill's girl. You look lovely today, Susanna. How are you today, Susanna? Can I help you with the groceries, Susanna? What can I do for you? And so he's giving plenty of attention to her. This leads to Wild Bill. Wild Bill is not looking for the fight here, I don't think. And I want you guys to tell me what you think when you hear the build up to this, because it certainly is explosive, but doesn't there's many opportunities for it to not get there, that get avoided here. Wild Bill decides that he's just going to refuse to play in any card games at a table that includes Davis Tutt. So he just goes, hey, well, we're not friends anymore. You said you're flirting with my girl in public. You're making these accusations about your sister that aren't true. So I'm not going to do anything bad to you, but you will not be gambling with me anytime soon. I will not share a poker table with you, which Davis Tutt then realizes is his own version of a scarlet letter, because all the gambling action in Springfield, Missouri is going through Wild Bill Hickok, because he's making his living as a gambler. That's like keeping comedian hours. You're like, oh, I just woke up. I got to get to work at 8 p.m. You
right.
know what I mean? And sometimes they want you there a half hour early to set up or whatever. But
the
anyway,
nerve.
Well, here's what winds up happening. Tutt takes this personal. He realizes that he's been an outcast now for something that, you know, I think he felt legitimate about. So he decides the best way to get even, it's almost like your little brother, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. It's almost what he does here. Tutt decides the best way to get even with his frenemy, if you will, is to bankroll the players that Wild Bill is actually gambling with. So it's like, I can't check now, man. My bank's a little bit light. And then Davis Tutt, oh, do you need 50? Here, I got 50 for it.
Oh, what a tool bag.
Oh, yeah. And then he'll walk around and be like, yeah, you know, that Wild Bill, he had a couple of hands before with an ace in it. I don't think he's got another one now. He's like, yeah, you figure that ace is at the bottom. He's just saying shit out loud, trying to mess with you on strategy and stuff.
He's the Tony G of the polka.
Meanwhile, Wild Bill's just sitting there with aviator sunglasses on, blocking everything out.
Like Phil Hellmuth.
Oh, my God. It seemed like the way I would try to compare this for millennials. Ethan, do you play and I'm not calling you a millennial, by the way. Do you play fantasy football at all?
Not really.
All right. So the worst thing in fantasy football is when someone is clearly not going to make the playoffs and then they start dropping their star players so that somebody else can pick them up for free.
So aggravating.
Oh, yeah. There's rules against it. It's called collusion now. This would be called collusion. Yeah, what this guy's
absolutely
doing. So he'd be getting in trouble even with FanDuel. But the problem is this. Davis Tutt, there's nobody to stop him in here. Davis Tutt's a pretty popular guy in town. And by the way, this town in Missouri is also one of those states that's half, you know, pro-slavery, half abolitionist. So there's a lot of tension there.
It's
there's
a purple
people,
state.
Well, there's people that fought for the Union and Confederacy. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly breaking bread here, but all it's going to take is one little – somebody just lights a match and it gets a little too close to that gasoline and something's going to go up. So they're always nervous about that. And this continued for some time over here. Tutt's goal was to bankrupt his former friend. That's what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. It'll continue for some time until an incident at the then-known Lion House – they referred to it as the Lion House back there. It is now known as the Old Southern Hotel. Ethan, could I ask a favor of you? Can you pull up – I wanted to know if this building's still standing. The Old Southern Hotel in Springfield, Missouri. Because if it is – this is part of another little endeavor of mine, Teddy, that I think it'd kick out of. We're trying to do stand-up comedy shows in historical places.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So when I open for Tom Green at the end of the month, I'm going to be popping across the street from the Mock Chunk Opera House. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to see if they'll let me in with a camera to go talk to the people over at the old jailhouse where they killed the Molly Maguires.
Lose
reception. Go check that bad boy out. So
the old Southern Hotel.
I can't find that. So we'll see. If we're able to find it, if it's still standing, that would be killer. Oh, it looks like it is there. Springfield. Okay. Oh, it's a Best Western. Isn't that hilarious?
Nice.
I'm kidding. It's a
it's a Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, that's right. The good news, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I am
and now
to,
I'm a gunfighter.
Exactly. I'm bankrolling my enemies. So at this particular place known as the Lion House, Tutt has bankrolled almost $4,000 in today's money.
Wow.
That's $4,000. That is adjusted for 2023. Now, Teddy, you work in finances, so we're not a political show here. But in Joe Biden's economy, that's at least four. Yeah, that's four tanks of gas.
Oh, yeah. I just filled up in my – I bought a new car today, and it was $55 in the Acadia. So So thanks, Joe. Appreciate
it's,
that.
It's a tough time right now. When you adjust for inflation on the show in the past, I used to sit there and be like, all right, so what was this in 1700s money? And now I can do that from 2020 to 2024 money, and it's a little upsetting.
What did this cost 4 years ago?
Well, it continues on here for a little bit. Tutt is bankrolling up to $4,000. $4,000 in today's money. That's a lot right now. Doesn't matter. That's the most I've ever won gambling. On sports betting is about $4,000. Hmm. Okay. You win that much money, the government has to get involved normally. So that being said, unfortunately, he's bankrolling all the other people at the table and giving advice, but Wild Bill just keeps on winning. Wild Bill's unstoppable. You're not going to beat him on this one.
Good for him.
Wild Bill is raking up. He's got piles of Tutt's money in front of him right now. Literally, King Tutt's money in front of him. And he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, Davis Tutt decides, he goes, hey, you're doing pretty good over there, Wild Bill. Just so you remember that horse trade we did. I traded a horse with you. That's $40. You owe me $40. And he's like, all right, here's $40 out of my $4,000.
Yeah.
I just won off. Here's your $40. I hope you feel good. And right after that, he goes, Wild Bill, you got to remember, you also owe me $35 from another bet that you didn't pay me back on a while back. And Wild Bill, he keeps his cool, man. He goes, no, Dave, I think you're mistaken. It's $25, not $35. He goes, I know, because I have a memorandum in my pocket about it. He kept a note in his wallet to say that I owe $25. So he's never denied that he owes the money. But Tutt keeps saying it's $35. And he goes, no, it's $25, and I'm not going to give you $10 over that. So Wild Bill, again, not disagreeing about the debt, disagreeing about the amount. Davis continues to argue, and he feels so emboldened now because he realizes he's been bankrolling the whole table against him. These are all people that hate Wild Bill. He just took all their money. Everybody's armed to the teeth. You're waiting for a gunfight at any moment. And here's what winds up happening. He walks up and decides to get himself a pair of brass balls. And Davis Tutt walks up and just grabs Wild Bill's pocket watch off his table, his prize pocket watch that came all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, grabs it and goes, Wild Bill, I'm going to hang on to this until we settle this debt. This is collateral until we do that. And Wild Bill is like livid, like ready to jump. But what is he going to do? He's got five guys ready to pull guns on him.
They'll pull guns on him.
So it's getting – of course, it's terrible on that one here. So Wild Bill's going to keep his cool for self-preservation purposes, okay? Because again, these guys don't like him to begin with because he has their money. They're all kind of loyal to Tut. And then also all you have to do is say, did you guys know Wild Bill fought for the Union in the Civil War? And half the town's going to be after him. So Tut is trying to now label Hickok as a coward who doesn't pay his debts. Hickok responds the only way he can. Because first of all, if you say, if I'm making my money as a gambler and you're telling me that I'm going to make my money as a gambler and then you're going to tell people that I don't pay my debts back, no one's going to let me in on any action.
Exactly.
At the table.
You're losing your livelihood.
And also, you just humiliated me in front of people by taking a piece of my property and saying, why don't I just hang on to this for you until you come to your senses about me being right? That's pretty much what he said.
That's a problem.
Wild Bill keeps his cool until he finds out Tut's men are like harassing him anytime he walks outside. They're like, hey, Wild Bill, you got the time? You got the time? They're messing with him left and right. And they said, hey, you know, Mr. Tut's got the time. In fact, if I walk out, I hear that Mr. Tut is going to go out and read the time in the center of town square here shortly. He's going to pop right out there and just let us know the time, you know, on this nice fancy watch he has. Wild Bill, what do you think about that? And Wild Bill, this is when, you know, this is when the legend is born. Okay. There's a couple of great lines. Think about this one if you can, Ethan. What's the best line from a movie, the best badass line you've ever heard? And then Ted, I want to throw back to you as well, too, because there's a couple damn good ones.
The best line I've heard?
The best line where you're like, my favorite line is, it's Josie Wales. It's the outlaw Josie Wales, and it's Clint Eastwood. And a bounty hunter comes after him, and he goes, man's got to make a living. And Josie Wales goes, dying ain't much of a living, boy. It's my favorite F you effed with the wrong guy line, right? So that's my favorite one. Think about yours, Ethan. Think about yours, Teddy. And in a second, I'm going to get to Wild Bill's because this is when you know he's a legend. The dime store novels are being written right now, firing up the presses because this is a damn good line. Teddy, what do you have if you thought of one?
My problem is most of the things I quote are from the movie Jaws or Miracle. So I could say, you know, great opportunity, you know, comes from great reward comes from great opportunity, or we're going to need a bigger boat. So, you know.
We're going to need a bigger boat. That is a line letting you know that things have hit the fan.
The crap's hit the
fan. That's a damn good one.
Exactly.
There's a couple other good ones. Again, every movie has their great lines. I'll give you a layup here, Ethan. Bruce Willis, he's talking into a walkie-talkie. He's going into
Die Hard?
What's he say when they say, what's your name, Mr. Cowboy?
I don't remember the exact line.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That's great.
The most Jersey line ever.
Oh, yeah.
So that being said, here's what Wild Bill comes back with when they're saying, oh, yeah, we heard Davis Tutt's going to go tell us what time it is at 6 p.m. tomorrow in the town square. Let everybody know out loud. Hey, by the way, everybody, I got Wild Bill's watch, and here's what the time is. It's 6 o'clock if you needed to know. And I took it from him, and he didn't do nothing about it, right? That's what he's pretty much playing the game with. And Wild Bill keeps his cool. And then he just says, he cleans out his old Navy Colt and he says, he best not come across that square unless dead men can walk.
Oof.
He's letting you know the fight's on. Okay. He goes out there with his Colt Navy, by the way, that's the gun Clint Eastwood uses in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
It's my favorite looking gun. It's one of the coolest guns ever made. I wanted one when I was in the U.S. Navy, but we'd moved on to Berettas at that point. But the two of these guys know each other. Wild Bill's out there, gun in hand. There's several failed negotiations. The two even share a drink with one another because other people are like, guys, I don't want you guys to kill each other. Here, come on, think about it, man. You guys used to be friends. They even have a drink and they can't agree on the dollar amount. This is $10.
God,
this is a $10
almighty
difference and they can't agree on it. And here's the whole thing is that if he gives Wild Bill the watch back, it makes it look like he's afraid of Wild Bill. And if Wild Bill allows him to do that, it makes it look like he's squelching on a bet or a loan that he got. So the two of them are like, our honor is intact. We cannot allow this to move forward here. So here's what winds up happening. 6 p.m., these two men know there's no backing down from this town square. This is, if you want to know where they took it from Gary Cooper for High Noon, if you want to know where it came from for Any of the great movies, Stagecoach, when the Ringo Kid is walking down. Every possible thing is taken from this story. This is one of the very few legit quick draw to the death duels ever in Wild West history. This is a true event that happened. There's court cases that were examined about this. It was news all across the country. As people see, Wild Bill Hickok, red long hair, red fiery mustache, glaring Colt, just calm, piercing eyes, walking towards the center of town, realizing he's about to handle some business with Mr. Tut, who's, by the way, not a wimpish-looking man. He's also got his gun out. They're staring each other down. Women and children are running and hiding. It's like in High Plains Drifter when he comes riding back in and they start all hiding behind everything. This is where all that is taken from, a true life story here that's taking place in the town of Springfield, Missouri. As they walk towards each other, Wild Bill says out loud for everybody to hear, again, he goes, "Dave, I'm here." That's it. That's all he had to say. And after a brief hesitation that probably equaled the entire – if you cut back and forth to the eyes like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, boom, 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 that the intensity is building
about
here.
About 30 seconds.
It might have been 4 seconds, but it was the most intense 4 seconds of your life, right? And the two of them both raise their guns. They both quick draw at each other. Two shots are fired. And boom, touch shot misses. Doesn't hit Wild Bill. Wild Bill scores one right in between the rib cage, the fifth and the seventh rib, to the point where Davis Tut turns around towards his gang and goes, "Boys, I'm killed." And this is even crazier too. Harper's Weekly, which was like the big – that was like the Time magazine for them back then. Harper's Weekly has an illustration of Wild Bill is now turned around and is pointing his gun at the rest of the gang behind him. Anybody else got a problem right now? Meanwhile, Tut's body is still like faltering in the back. Like he hasn't even dropped and hit the ground yet.
Yeah.
But he's sitting there and he's got the gun pointed at him. So it blew my mind on this one. It was he even screamed out, like I said, when he said, "Boys, I'm killed," Davis Tut knew. And they praised him too. They said he was fearless in it. And this is what I thought was the most interesting part of this story. Wild Bill gets arrested. Bail is denied. That's common for a murder charge back then, right? And our boy Ethan pulled this up right away. Ethan, just let Kahuna know we no longer need his services, okay? Let him know he's fired.
Are you satisfied is the quote underneath.
Jeez. You said – oh, that's another good line. You are satisfied? You satisfied? Are you not entertained?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you not entertained? So, oh, my God. That I'll tell you another great line just because we have to do it. I get goosebumps every time I watch Training Day. And Denzel goes, "King Kong ain't got nothing on me." That's an all-timer right there. So point being, if you look at this photo, Davis's body has not hit the ground yet. And he's already got the guns pointed
at him.
Oh, yeah. That's Davis. That Davis Tut saying, "Oh, he got me." Right. And Wild Bill goes, "Anybody else?" That's it. Didn't think so. He turns his gun and he gets arrested. Stands trial. There's even talk of lynching him. That's how much of the town, how large the support is for Davis Tut.
Yeah.
That they want to actually lynch Wild Bill Hickok here. But now the story's getting out. Wild Bill Hickok just – he stared a man down at high noon. He did that. You know, it's insane. The story is growing like crazy. People are coming in. It's been sensationalized in the newspaper. Harper's Weekly takes it and runs with it. The legend of Wild Bill Hickok is going to absolutely continue to spread over here. The verdict, they judge him as not guilty. And the reason they judge him as not guilty is due to an understanding of mutual combat law, that these two men both – they entered the arena. They knew what they were doing. And then what they did to try to ease the thing is they're like, "Guys, if Davis Tut had killed Wild Bill, would you be letting us string up Davis Tut in the street?" And like, well no.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't.
But we liked him.
Yeah. Hey. Perfect. I love that. When the generation gap is closed on one comic reference. Cartoon reference, I should say. I'm sorry. I am going to start to wrap this sucker up here, I promise. Now, the legend of Wild Bill Hickok, it spread because both of those men knew that they had no choice in the matter. They had to stare each other down and do what had to be done. The legend will continue to spread, and many would-be gunslingers and card sharks are going to think twice after seeing that Harper's Weekly depiction of a man so fast and accurate that in the illustration, Tut's body hasn't hit the ground yet, and he's already looking for the next target.
Yeah.
So that's a great one right there. So this becomes dime store legend, which becomes TV and movie sensations, which is one of the few very legitimate record – and this I don't want to go on a tangent here – I have very few people I have a hard time with. What's that guy's name? Something Ruins Everything.
Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah, Adam Ruins Everything. That guy, he did one on the Old West. He goes, oh, yeah, this is all made up. It's all fake Hollywood. There was never a showdown in the middle of the street. There was, I'm like, dude, I grew up reading this shit. Stop telling me what I know.
Yeah, it's complete BS, right?
Yeah, it pissed me off to no end. And then, by the way, then when you watch him and you think he's accurate on something else, you're like, I don't know. He was so confident in something that I did. I have old books. There's actually, again, to go back to the historical accuracy of Tombstone, there's a woman, like Lady Fatima, I think her name was. She was like a belly dancer, a burlesque dancer. Mm-hmm. And she's having her photos taken. And the OK Corral is right behind her. So the guys that are hiding from the gunfight go running in there. And this book that I had as a kid had the Lady Fatima, like her bourgeois photo or whatever it was, mm-hmm. in there. And I remember this because when I was a kid and, you know, you noticed when women's boobs were in things.
Yes.
Then to see that displayed in the movie there, where you're like, oh, that's how accurate that was. So again, the gunfight at the OK Corral was real. This was real. So yeah. Adam, the only thing you've ruined is your own credibility. So
yeah, I've been to the OK Corral. I saw the mannequins and all they had set up where the guys are. It's cool as hell.
It is. I remember. I'll tell you what. This is the time. How old are you, Ethan?
20.
You're 20?
Yep.
You carry yourself much older, by the way.
I would guess like 25. Compliment.
Thank you very much.
So I'm 36 and I'm so proud that I grew up in the time that I grew up in, and I'm proud that I had parents that were older. My parents were older than most of the other parents because my obsession when it was show and tell and I was bringing in like, and here's the ballistics that they showed for the OK Corral. Wyatt Earp, as you can see, is untouched here. Doc Holliday gets winged in this part, but the McLowry brothers are dead. If I made that speech today and I had a single mother who was in her 20s, I would be on every medication to man.
Yeah.
I would have as much time on my SATs as I needed.
Oh, yeah. That would have been just brutal.
Oh, yeah. I'd be KP Asperger's is what they'd be calling me. So nothing wrong with Asperger's, by the way. But
Mrs. Burke, we need to talk to you.
Exactly. Oh, man. No, thank God she was an old school. My mom's old school. I'm grateful for that every single day. Tut is dead. Wild Bill's legend, however, is just beginning. He will become a feared lawman, a renowned gambler, a Wild West icon. But in the end, it's all aces and eights, my friend.
Yeah, aces and eights. That's it.
Oh, my God. Before we get out of here, Teddy, anything you want to say to anybody on the way out? First of all, where can they find Wizards of Odd? And what is, if they have not listened to the show yet, what's a good entry point for them?
Yeah, any podcast platform that you listen to your podcast on, you can search for The Wizards of Odd. If you do a S at the end of the odd, you'll get a creepy guy who's trying to give you betting advice. So it's The Wizards of Odd. Honestly, jump in at the beginning. We talk about Bigfoot and episode 3 or 4 about Telly Savalas. Telly Savalas is a great episode.
That is, by the way, that's the one that scared Kahuna the
scared
most.
Scared Kahuna.
Ethan, just so you know, he can't, if you say this voice, if you play that voice back.
I'll give you a ride.
Kahuna won't go to sleep tonight. I hope he edits this. I'll put it that way. It's one of the scariest ghost stories I've ever heard, and it's Telly Savalas literally telling it. Kojak is telling you this story.
Yeah. And if you go to wizardsofoddpodcast.com, you can leave us a message. You can reach out to us. And if you have a story, we want to hear it. Record it and email it to us. Go to the website and we'd be happy to hear from you. Are you auditioning for the new James Bond, the way you were holding it there?
James Bond is going to be a lady now, by the way.
I'm not watching it anymore.
No.
I'm not watching it anymore.
But think about it, because her new code name is 0070 cents on the dollar. She's fantastic. So, all right, you get a lot more.
All right, I might watch it then.
I'm looking at right now, which, by the way, is based off a World War I German Mauser.
Yeah.
But we have Han Solo's replica gun over here. It's and beautiful. By the way, while Bill Hickok shot first, so did Han. That's how I feel.
Mm.
All right. You remember that one? They tried to edit that one in post.
Yeah.
Wizards of Odd is a great show. We actually have a combo episode that we did on I'm trying to remember what the hell the creature was.
We talked about
a great Halloween episode where we did the Telly Savalas one, but there was also Wendigos.
Wendigos.
Scared the shit out of me. I really did.
Wendigos.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. It's out there. There are too many people that have given their story that, you know, for this to be like, no, it never happened. So,
exactly.
But it's interesting. Listen to it. It's We think you'd enjoy it.
We have fun, and you and Don have something special in there. So I want to bring both of you guys back in the studio as soon as possible. I want to say thank you to our boy Ethan over there behind the ones and twos. Welcome addition to the crew, man.
Thanks for coming.
Very happy to get to work with you. I'm most upset you've been here so long and I haven't worked with you yet.
It's all right.
It's good on you on that one. Thanks to, again, the Big Kahuna, who is resting and relaxing after his big weekend recording a comedy recital. Okay.
Sleep, Kahuna, sleep.
And if you guys are following me, it's at KP Burke Sucks over on Instagram. My Instagram reels that we're putting out, those 90-second versions of this very show, continue to keep taking off. I got a lot of very interesting people follow. All of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, did the punter for the Giants just follow me? Yes, he did.
I just want to say one thing. There is no person in the comedy industry that I've ever been associated with that I respect more and love more than you.
Shut up.
And when I'm dead serious when I say this. And when I see the accomplishments that you've got, I could not be happier. Now, if we could do a show on the people who I absolutely would spit in their face, but you are my favorite guy. And
well, feelings mutual,
and
sir.
That's
you're a no-brainer guest to bring in on this thing. But we're having fun with those. We keep growing those. There are five more in the bank. So if you don't follow me already on Instagram, please jump on there. You can check out those in post. It's very interesting. The comment sections get rather dicey because I don't know about you, Ted. I kind of thought the Nazis were bad guys.
We're going to relook at this now. We're going to rewrite history.
Yeah, I got a little bit nervous at just how many people were like, oh, this was it's all been faked. Everything's been faked. You don't know anything. Nothing. I was like, no, guys, listen, my goal, if I can say this, and this is very arrogant of me, my goal with this podcast is to create interest so that people do their own research. But if I had to have an overarching goal, Ethan, it is this. I want to save history from conspiracy theorists that are using it to bend their own narrative and save it from the people who are trying to erase it because they think that if some person did something wrong, they don't deserve to be remembered.
Take down that statue.
Don't take down that statue and don't scream inside job on some things. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's find the truth is somewhere in the middle. Okay. The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for continuing to support the show. And do me a favor, check out Wizards of Odd. Ethan, anything you want to plug, buddy? Sometimes these guys have their own little side projects going.
Check out a Shared Universe podcast studio. Red Bank, got one in Bellworks.
Really which one do you like the best?
I like Bellworks better. It's
Hell
closer to me, but it's a little better. And there's Jersey Freeze next door. So, you know, we got ice cream.
Also true. Guys, if you want a sandwich on a Wednesday between the hours of
3:05 and 3:10.
Exactly. There's great food here if you can get here when it's open.
Yeah.
I don't know when. I've never had it. Anytime I've eaten here, it's been great. Anytime I've wanted to eat here, I couldn't.
I've been here at 8 o'clock at night and it's open. And then I'll come here the next morning at 9 o'clock in the morning and people are like, I can't get a coffee. And I'm like, should have brought your own.
Oh, they're confusing guys, man. And by the way, the reason that I keep playing in this backyard of a shared universe is because it is tied into the comic book world. And guess what? The comic book world is a continuation of the Dime Store novel. That truly is.
That's true.
That's where all the superhero stuff comes from. It's always it's fantasy and acme. You wanted to ride around with Billy the Kid the same way that you wish that you could deal out justice with the Punisher. There's lots of stuff in there, man.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a bridge to those two things. So I want to say thank you again to Ming Chen. Thank you to Ethan. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to my boy Teddy Daniels. Let's go make some jokes tonight.
Let's do that.
Tom's River.
Let's do that. I'm going to stink, but you'll be good.
You're the worst. Get out of here, man. My name was KP Burke, and that was the Davis Tutt Wild Bill Hickok gunfight. American loser.
An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born.